Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Jason said, you better have Lost Boys on Gout FM.
Oh, man, Renee. A ghetto love is the law that we live by. Yeah. Every day I wonder why my shorty had to die. Who else we got?
It's an emotional song. Let's see. And then we were being told there is actually a throwback or a classic hip-hop station in New York. I'm not going to give it out because I don't want people to change the channel.
Yeah, that's true.
Arturo said Nas would be on that station.
Yeah.
Wu-Tang Clan. Of course.
Yeah.
And we know that.
We talking about the ones, the questionable ones, is like Grandmaster Flash, Kumo D.
The ones that yell at you.
Young MC, just bust a move.
Right? All the ones that yell at you.
Six Kilo.
Yeah.
Does Onyx make it? Onyx kind of represents the 90s. Onyx kind of represents the 90s, though.
So. Onyx is early 90s, though.
Yeah, but
that's
it's
when
early
the sound
90s.
Got a little different, right? The sound
yeah.
got a little
Slim.
Like, yeah. Da, 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 da. Yeah.
Not, you know, Naughty by Nature. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Definitely in there. Hip hop, yeah. Hooray. So, yeah, like, that. But when you go to the 80s, like, you can't, like, does D Nice go there? My name is D Nice.
Oh, hell yeah, D Nice. D
Nice. But D Nice is, that was like late 80s, though. I don't know
so
if 80s
what?
Make it.
What, like,
if you stopped
you
in the 80s.
Play, we can't play any of your music because it's too old?
Yes.
I got a problem.
Like, we going 40 years. Listen, if you go right now, we're in 2023. If you go to the 90s, that's 33 years. You're going
understand.
Back 33 years, bro.
Listen.
That's old school.
Okay. That's old school. I'm talking about oldies, not old school.
Well, that's Passion of the Christ. That's not 103.5 The Gout.
I think The Gout has to play.
That's 103.5 Tuberculosis.
The Gout has to play stuff that was originally on wax.
That's like the tuberculosis station. Like that's another pandemic. You got to go back farther than the gout.
Wow.
So Tom from Philly called just a few minutes. That last segment might have been only like 3 or 4 minutes long, and there was a lot going on in that segment because Tom called from Philly and he was tired of hearing from all these Giants fans thinking that they can beat the Eagles.
Giants fans are real quiet today too.
They're very quiet today, which I guess it's a cautious
optimism. Are they nervous?
But one of the things that he brought up was how he said that the Eagles are like have a chance to tie or break the all-time sack record.
That's disrespectful.
And there's the 84 Bears. It's 72.
Like
season.
Can we be honest though? I mean,
now they have had
extra
six.
Games. They've
got six or more sacks in a game several times this year. Is it doable? Yes.
It's an extra game, though. And you sit up there trying to get a sack record, you don't mess around and get sliced and diced, man. Like somebody cut you in and you get hurt out there trying to show off. Listen, I understand it's a dash for the cash and a lot of guys might have incentives. That's another story we have to get back to. Maybe we can ask D-Wizzle.
Let's ask D-Wizzle. Let's bring it up. Yeah, so it's Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN, and Damian Woody joins us right now.
98.7 to go.
D Wood, what's happening, man?
Nothing much, guys. How you guys doing?
All right.
Kuda Matatas, man. Now we've been talking today about, you know, we just had a caller call in talking about that the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, are going for the all-time sack record. Which, first of all, when you think about, you know, current records, we have to take and keep under consideration that it's one extra game, so. I know it's going to have – to me, I feel like it needs to be asterisks put on, you know, records when things like that happen. But are the Philadelphia Eagles on a slippery slope if they're putting maybe Jalen Hurts out there? I understand how important, you know, the number one seed is, but are they putting him at risk maybe too early? I heard he was limited at practice today or yesterday.
You know, it affects how you call a game, right? Like, Jalen Hurts is not your traditional guy that's going to drop back and play the traditional quarterback role. This is the guy that, you know, the RPO game, the quarterback design run game is just as much a part of the Philadelphia Eagles offense as any other aspect of it. So, you know, you go out and put Jalen Hurts out there and he's not 100%, he lands on that shoulder wrong. What good would a bye week do if you further damage that shoulder? Like, I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles should be able to go out there against a New York Football Giants team that's probably going to be resting players because they're locked in the sixth seed. They should be able to win that game. If they don't win that game, it's bigger problems than just Jalen Hurts and his availability.
Yeah, I mean, Vegas is giving them a two-touchdown spread. I mean, the feeling is that if the Giants are going to rest guys as – everyone should seems
Giants,
to expect.
Should the Giants rest guys, and who should they be trying to match up with, D-Wizzle? Like, because if they win, thing. They can try and match up and have their choice, right? Because you would think that if I'm a Giants fan, which I'm not, but if I was, I would be saying, hey, I want Minnesota. I do not want San Francisco. And I know if you can win one, then all crazy things happen in week two of the playoffs because somebody usually gets upset. And you never know. You may not have to go through another big opponent.
Yeah, my inclination is since they're locked in the six, I think they're probably going to rest some guys, try to get guys as healthy as possible for the whole season. But, you know, you're right, Bart, like, styles make fights, right? Like, so matters matter. I'm sure a lot of teams are probably looking at Chubbs wanting to match up with the Minnesota Vikings. And listen, we know that Minnesota has won 11 games by one score or less, but, I mean, listen, man, I don't think people really respect Minnesota as much as, you know, say a San Francisco. San Francisco like bullies on the block. Mm-hmm. They're literally Debo on the block.
Demi Woody joining us on the show. It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. Did you see the back and forth with Jeff Saturday, our former colleague, and Kayvon Thibodeau? What did you think of what Thibodeau did and then his response to Jeff Saturday being critical of it?
I didn't see too much of it. I mean, I got the gist of it. I don't think that it was anything. I just think that Kayvon Thibodeau is a guy, just a young fellow that just loves to have fun, made a play, and he was just doing the snow angel. I don't think he recognized that Nick Foles was, like, really hurt or was going on to that nature. I just think the dude was just out there having fun playing ball. So, you know, obviously Jeff from a different perspective saw it and saw that it was disrespectful. But I didn't think Kayvon did anything malicious out there.
You know what, D-Wood? You know, I think I respect it even more this week being with what I went through with the comments, right, that anybody can take a picture of a guy laying next to a guy that's not moving, looking like he's injured, making snow angels. And it could be blown out of proportion. So, you know, it's like the proximity point, right? Your point of view may be different from somebody else's point of view because they're looking at it from another angle than you are. Talking about different point of views, you know, we've been listening, you know, kind of back and forth to John Harbaugh and talking about Lamar Jackson and giving us updates to the point now where he doesn't even want to talk about it. It seems to be a bit of frustration going on. I don't know if Lamar Jackson can play or they believe that he can play and he's just not willing to put himself at risk. But how do you see this situation working out? And do you think that it's a long-term future there with Lamar Jackson with the Ravens?
Yeah, I think there's definitely bad mojo going on in that building down in Owens Mills, you know, Maryland right now. I think what you see on John Harbaugh's face is a coach that's, number one, obviously frustrated with the offensive output that we've been seeing from the Ravens for weeks now. And then number two, I think that John Harbaugh probably believes, you know how coaches are, probably believes that his quarterback is healthy enough to play. Now, on the flip side with Lamar Jackson, I don't blame Lamar Jackson for not going out there if he's not 100% ready. Considering the fact that we all know that once the contract didn't get done, and everyone talking about, well, we were just going to table discussions. Those things never get tabled. When you're talking about that amount of money, that's always going to be in the back of a player's mind. And we know how instrumental, you know, Lamar Jackson's legs are to as far as how the Baltimore Ravens like to operate their offense. So if he's not out there 100%, like, Lamar Jackson's not going to be out there. And that's just what it is, man. And I think this situation is going to boil over to the offseason as well.
It's amazing when you think about it. Since 2019, the Ravens are 39-15 when he plays, and 4-7 when he doesn't. That's crazy.
What's even more crazy, Alan and Damon, is the fact when you think about that the Ravens, if this game is played by the Bills and the Bengals, can win a division. With all the tough losses that they've had, not having them.
That's the thing. Now, Woody, have you heard about one of the scenarios that's possible, you know, in regards, of course, to that Bengals Bills game that has not been finished, that one scenario is they just decide to not play it at all.
That's whack.
And they'll go by winning percentage. So the Bengals and the Bills will play 16 games. Everybody else plays 17, and you go by winning percentage. And in that scenario, the Ravens cannot win their division, no matter what happens. Can't win their division. How do you feel about that?
Well, listen, first of all, I came out and said after what happened on Monday night, that I didn't think they were going to make up that game. I just didn't think they were going to make it up. I just felt like it was a incident that was probably, especially for Buffalo, too traumatic for them to make that game up. Plus the time crunch. I know everyone talks about, you can, move the postseason back a week because you got that extra week between the championship game and the Super Bowl. But there's a lot of things that goes into maneuvering and pushing those things back. And honestly, I don't think those players want to go through that ordeal again. Mm-hmm. And so I look at it as a situation where those guys, the NFL is going to be like, you know what? Sometimes because of this extenuating circumstance, this rare circumstance, it might not be fair.
Right.
There's no fair solution to any of this. And that's just the way we got to roll with it.
See, but the crazy thing is that nobody gets jobbed if the game is played. Right, so we're talking about if somebody got to get job. To me, it needs to be the networks. Let the networks get job, right? Because if not, you're talking about people potentially losing jobs because Bill Belichick and his resume or his legacy is on the line, right? Josh McDaniels coming in, spending all this money, as a Dolphins team and organization, saying that you're ready, not making the playoffs. That costs people jobs, whether it's coordinators or players, right? When you think about the Ravens having an opportunity to be able to host a game, if the Bengals lose to the Bills and then the Ravens beat the Bengals, then they host a divisional title, and then also they get to host a game. That's $50-100 million to the local community because they get to host a game and they're not going on the road. And you talk about bringing all the networks in and all the money that comes in with hotels and all that stuff. So the best way to do it is just for them to play the game. Unless Buffalo says we'll forfeit both games, which automatically lets the Patriots in, which is totally unfair to the Dolphins. No, but if something's going to be unfair, let it be unfair to the networks.
It's so complicated.
Well, but it can be unfair to the networks.
The Patriots can't get in. First of all, the Patriots have to beat Buffalo and have Miami lose in order for them to get in. That's a highly unlikely scenario with them going up Buffalo,
but we don't know what kind of Buffalo they're facing.
Well, that's true, but I like I said, I just think the fact that it's the end of the season, and considering the circumstances behind which what happened on Monday night, I don't think there's an appetite for Buffalo or Cincinnati making up that game. Yeah. I just don't think there's an appetite for it.
It's almost like everybody just wants to move on from it.
We'll
hear from Joe Burrow in the next segment, by the way, on that stuff too. And I'll give you some scenarios as well. We're talking with Damian Woody. And before we complete this conversation, though, I do want to ask you, though, about your former team, the Jets, and their situation, where they are right now with Zach Wilson. And you hear Robert Saleh saying that they're not giving up on him, that he needs, and one of the things that he said was this idea that he needs to get away, maybe go read a book, get away from football and all that stuff. Are you, from all the things that you've watched this season with that team and what they could have been if they had capable quarterback play, which we saw a little bit with Mike White, where are the Jets in your mind right now? And would they be for, there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks potentially available this offseason. Are they an attractive destination in your mind for somebody like a Derek Carr or anyone else to say, I'll go there and we're going to win?
Oh, absolutely. There would be. I think the Jets have done a lot to dispel a lot of myths this season. I think when people from the outside looking in, particularly like potential available quarterbacks, will look at the Jets as very appealing. They're young, very talented. They got a top-flight defense. They got a lot of young, exciting pieces on offense. Guys that got knocked out during the year that's going to come back healthy, i.e., Breece Hall, AVT, so there's a lot of attractiveness when it comes to the Jets. I think the biggest thing is, the number one question I have is, what's the deal with the offensive coordinator? Okay, because when you look at the Jets, First of all, the number one mandate was developing Zach Wilson. That hasn't happened. Number two, look at how the offense collapsed down the stretch. And so when you add all these things up, you got to start – there's got to be some serious discussions about, you know, what's the offensive coordinator situation, and do there need to be tweaks to the staff on that side of the ball?
See, here's the tough thing about that when you ask that question. It's hard to evaluate LaFleur, right? He was down to his eighth lineman, right? So we talk about, you know, Becton, of course, right? George Fant was injured. But also we talk about Max Mitchell.
At one point they were playing their fourth quarterback too.
Yeah. Max Mitchell. But also you're talking about being down to your sixth running back, right? James Robinson was down. Michael Carter was injured. Yeah. Breece Hall out. So it's hard to really evaluate him as a play caller because – they couldn't block anybody, but how could they? Because they were down to their eighth lineman.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's tough, right? Yeah. I can see if he had, like, maybe one lineman down. He was down to this eighth and ninth lineman.
But, Bart, let's throw a crazy
Duvernay
name. Let's throw a crazy name at D. Wood.
Okay.
I want to get his reaction.
He can call and get the answer himself.
Yeah, probably could.
He got him in his phone.
Scenario. Jets looking for a veteran quarterback. Somebody help them win. Could Tom Brady be that option?
Broadway Tom.
Broadway Brady.
I mean, listen, I'll never say never. I mean, listen, if you're Tom and you're looking at the Jets and looking at the roster, I think it's very appealing. I think it's more appealing than the Tampa Bay Bucks roster. There's no question about that. You know, I will say is this. We've seen Tom throughout his career despise the Jets. Is that the move he would make and play against New England twice a year?
Yes.
Would he
yes.
make that move?
Yes. He gets to take
may,
it.
He might.
Yeah. He might want to dispel the rumor that hey, if you can make the Jets dominate the Patriots, just think the Jets haven't beat the Patriots in 12 appearances. Tom Brady comes down and he wins two. Oh my God! And guess what? He's going to bring with him. Guaranteed. If Tom Brady comes to the Jets, he's bringing Gronk.
We need a
tight end that can block. We have the money to pay him $50 million and give Gronk $20 million on top
have
of that.
Because
we ain't got to pay nobody.
Him plenty of money to just do commercials.
Hold on. Let me tell you something. Could you imagine Gronk in this market?
Oh, my God.
Come on, man. Gronk, he's from Buffalo. He's from New York. Yep. Can you imagine Gronk and Tom Brady with a young roster coming over, taking over? Gronk handles the run game. The edge is – he's going to be next to Becton all the time. Come on, man. You talk about – that's like having Kittles.
He's out of control.
Having Kittles in your 49ers type
you
of offense.
You just gave him caffeine. You see what you just did?
You know how much money we got, man? D-Will, you know how much money we got? And baby powder up. The price of baby powder is up right now, baby.
Baby powder is up. Oh, man. Hey, Damian Woody, we love talking with you.
Why did we say that, man? Why did we introduce that?
But D-Wood, guess what, though? You know that Tom would come in and he would only be here maybe for one, maybe 2 years. That allows you to hold on to Zach Wilson, because if you bring in a Derek Carr or you bring in a Jimmy G, you're going to give them a long-term deal. That means that Zach Wilson won't be able to outlast their deal. This allows you to be able to have the greatest teacher. I know he don't talk to you. You get one question when you Tom Brady's backup, but it don't matter, right? Well, you just got to keep Zach away from Giselle. That's all you got to do. And we're good.
See where you started? Damian Woody, all you had to do is say, no chance, but you didn't. You left the door open, and now Bart's going to be on this.
He almost went to Miami,
months.
Right? He almost went to Miami.
Well, he was going to be – remember, he had a
– right, so he almost went to Miami. He got a place – I'm sure he got a place somewhere out here, man. We'll get him a place in Manhattan.
They had a place in Manhattan. I know he and Giselle had a place in Manhattan. I think they sold it, but it doesn't mean he doesn't have property here. There's no doubt about it. Damian Woody, great to hear from you as always, my man. Thanks for starting trouble.
Oh, yeah. All right, guys.
All right, D-Wizzle. Enjoy your weekend, baby.
All the best.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN. The audio file.
Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. Bart, we don't have long breaks anymore. You can't step away from the mic and go make like an omelet. I just want everybody to know Bart legit walked away and he's not here right now. He's stuck with me. So in the meantime, that's what we'll do. We'll do some audio files with you. He'll jump in here in a moment. He had to make himself something to eat. It's hysterical. So those who know, we were on the network. We had breaks that lasted like 8 minutes, 9 minutes long. Y'all complained about it. I don't blame you. But for us, it was actually pretty good because I could legit like go down the block and go get like, you know, a bacon, egg, and cheese.
Drop some chicken.
And come back. Oh, there he is. And they'd still say, oh, you got 3 minutes. So now it's like, forget it. Now we have no time at all.
Yeah, you're like, man, I don't think I can make it back from the bathroom.
Hell no. But you are back, and that's great. So we're doing audio files. So let's begin.
You got the call?
We're going to
do audio files. We're going to do it the right way.
But we already started it. It already started.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, we got to work on the production. It's all right. No worries.
Okay.
Let's begin it, though, with this. And this is, as we're talking about, the different scenarios in the AFC. We're just talking with Damian Woody. There's scenarios now being floated that include they just use winning percentages to decide seeding. So the Bengals and Bills, they would not finish the game. And those two teams would only play 16 games, and they'd go with winning percentage.
Unfair.
But that really does affect everything. There's a new one out right now by Pro Football Talk that has a scenario of 8 AFC teams getting in. And an AFC championship game at a neutral site so no one has any benefit. That's really complicated. Bottom line is this, though. The Bills and the Bengals are the two teams that could be affected. In fact, the Bengals could be affected the most because keep in mind, they can't get the top seed if they go with just winning percentage. If they don't play the game, the Bengals have a shot at the top seed if they do play the game. But if they don't, they cannot. There's no scenario where they can actually get the number one seed. And Joe Burrow, as we'll hear right here, he sounds like, you know what? I'm fine with anything that the Bills need in this time.
Whatever Buffalo would want to do would be what we would want to do as well. We're, you know, behind them 100% and support them in whatever they would decide to do going forward.
It's a classy thing to say.
Yeah, that's admirable. But guess what? That's still like that. Let's not weep for the Bengals because guess what they can't do? They can't lose the division as well, which means they get the host. Right, but you know who that screws? The Ravens, who if you know the Bills was a affordable, good opponent that could have won that game, which would have opened up the door to Ravens to win the division to host the game. You know what that does if they don't play the game? That gives them the division.
Okay. But what Burrow said though, Bart.
No,
is
that's great. That's great sportsmanship.
Knowing that this is not the time for me to be selfish about a football-related matter. If we can't, we can't. We'll just – this is the road we've got in front of us. We've done it once before. We could do it again. It's the right thing to say.
It is.
Because this is an extenuating circumstance that we all know that nobody wanted, and it's no one's fault.
Right.
So we move on. Meanwhile, we don't know what the situation is going to be with the Raiders. They play one more game, and it actually has some impact. They do play –
It's got to be somebody in the division, Kansas City.
It's Kansas City.
It's got to be a division.
If Kansas City wins this game, and it's, you know, they're all set. Like they get the top seed. They're good. But we don't know where Derek Carr is going next. And it's interesting that Davante Adams wanted the trade there because he wanted to play with Derek Carr. So when asked about the possibility of Derek Carr not being there next year and would he want to still be there if Derek Carr is not, Davante Adams gave a very interesting answer. Take a listen.
I came here, you know, I wouldn't have been here or ended up here originally probably, you know, if Derek wasn't here. But It doesn't necessarily mean that I won't be here, you know, in the event that he's not here. That's my boy. Obviously, I got his back through anything. I think I've made that more than clear at this point, and I support him and support everything that he has, you know, moving forward as well. But, you know, my dream was to play for this team before he was a Raider, obviously, and at this point I want to, you know, obviously try to make this thing work and continue on doing what I'm doing here and, you know, myself get better and obviously see the team grow and get better as well.
So he shows support for Carr, but doesn't sound like, well, if they trade him, then I'm out.
He's between a pimp and a hard place because this salary and his dead cap money would be so high. Remember, he's the highest paid receiver in the league. So they can't get rid of him for 3 years. So he can't start acting crazy for at least 3 years. So he's stuck. And just think, he was running away from Green Bay because he wanted quarterback stability, only not to get stability. Right. And the only thing that's going to make him feel better is if they bring in the GOAT or maybe Jimmy G. Anything outside of that, you know, Stidham, making a trade for mac and cheese, will make him hate and despise and regret the decision that he's made.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing how that decision, the impact that's had on two franchises and what it could continue to have going forward. It's definitely interesting. But, you know, again, he also didn't make it sound like he had any idea of what's going to happen with Derek Carr, and that just leaves him available. And the reason why I find this interesting is because, again, from a Jet perspective, you look at it like, all right, well, I mean, it doesn't sound like Devontae's trying to make a case, right? Like, they better not trade him. They better not do it. He just kind of talked around it.
Because that hay's already in the barn.
Yeah, I guess you're right. All right, so NBA, let's get a little NBA news in here. Giannis Antetokounmpo has been on a tear. Now, the Bucks have not played well recently, but they almost blew a 21-point lead last night to the Raptors. They ended up winning in overtime. And Giannis goes for 30-21-10. And over the last four games, talk about 45-22-7, 43-20-5, 55-10-7. Are you kidding me? So basically, if you add his Christmas Day game, which way he went for 27-9-3, which sounds like nothing compared to what I just told you, that's 203 points, 94 rebounds, and 39 assists in five games. That's a stretch we haven't seen since Kareem 50 years ago. Like that's the kind of tear he's been on. But he did have a dunk in the game against the Wizards that was pretty impressive stuff. And it's not normal for him. Like, he dunks easily. But for him, he's been aware that he's not really throwing down crazy dunks anymore. But he had to in this case, and he explained why.
Got my significant other, she's telling me they don't post you on House of Highlight anymore because you don't dunk the ball. You don't get as high as the young fellas. I said, yeah, it's not the same. I've been here for a decade now. You know, the legs are gone. You know, I don't have legs to get that high. But today I tried to get high. But I had a windmill, so I hope that satisfied her.
A windmill dunk just to keep her happy. You
that's
imagine that?
That's motivation, like, oh, though, man.
You're
that's
not
what,
on the highlights anymore. You're not as good as these young boys.
Like, he's really putting up a historical number, like, but it's not the splashy stuff, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, where's the flair for the dramatic, Giannis? You supposed to be the Greek freak. You the Greek.
Don't.
Eek. I need the freak freak. I want the freak freak. He gave her the freak freak. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's one of those things. Listen, sometimes you got to start considering how much gas I want to save, sir. You know what I mean? Sometimes you don't have to empty the tape. You know, you understand that he understands better than most that this thing is a marathon. He mentioned he has been in the league 10 years. So you want to conserve all that energy. You don't want to expend any extra energy, man. That's why you see old people walking around. They never in a hurry.
What is it?
I get there when I get there.
You and old people today. It's amazing.
103 to count. He said he was old. He's only like 30 years old probably.
Well, but he's been in the league since he's 19 years old. So,
he's
got a lot of miles. But it's all it takes his wife to just say, you know, you don't dunk like you used to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I don't, huh? Okay.
Five fingers to the face. You know who was the oldest player I've ever seen? Like, God is his age so fast.
Who?
Tayshaun Prince. Tayshaun Prince. I know he played a lot of basketball going to those five championships with the Pistons. Man, this dude was Tayshaun was like, he looked like he was 50.
Miles would do that to you. It was conference. Conference finals appearances.
Yeah, yeah. And then
they
won
did
championship.
Win one championship. They went to two finals. They won one championship, just to make that clear. You're Pistons.
Yes.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah, it's coming. Listen, we're going to start that. We're going to ask Sirius to give us our own hip-hop station, 103.5 The Gout.
The Gout. And everybody's like, you mean the goat? No.
The Gout.
It's not like you would say, you'd go, the Gout, like you've done right. That before. But no, you actually mean gout.
Instead of the hot five at five, we're going to call it the sciatic at nine. You know how they're sitting on your wallet, man. That sciatica kick you? In, son.
The hell's something wrong with you, man?
We want to relate to our audience.
I'm trying. There's no doubt about that. But we get – the funny
thing
is,
our listeners got sciatica right
like
now.
This, right? It's something goofy and all the tweets we're getting. I mean, we get tons of tweets and it's all what's – who should be on featured on 98, like what, let's call it 98.7, The Gout.
Right.
Like DOS Effects.
Yeah.
Diggable, you know, Planets, I'd take that. Bone Thugs and Harmony, The Fugees.
Tribe Called Quest.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But you know how many of our drivers right now
EPMD
can't feel all their toes in their right leg because they driving and they sciatica kicking in, but they know they can't stop because they got to go where they got to go.
When your hip starts, like, going numb when you drive a long way.
Oh. All our drivers out there, you know what I mean, our Amazon drivers, yeah, our UPS guys. Drivers, yep. We know they got that butt pad on, in that car, that little seat. You know what I'm saying? Sciatica is real, son.
The heating pad, too, to just keep it loose.
Good thing the weather's good, man.
Mm. All right. Scenarios that we were talking about when it comes to the AFC. And it's like there's a lot of crazy things now. Because nobody knows what's going to happen. So a couple of theories have been put out there. And one of them is they're just going to not play the game and go with winning percentage, as I mentioned to you before. And if that's the case, if they just don't play the game, and so two teams will play 16 games, everybody else plays 17. Here's the issue. So as I mentioned, the Bengals could not get the top seed. Because the best they could be is 12-4, which is winning percentage of 75, basically 750. And it wouldn't be enough. Kansas City, even if they lost, they would have a 765 winning percentage. So that's it. At 13-4 versus 12-4, it's just that one more win. Now, Buffalo would have a shot if they beat the Patriots because they'd be 13-3, one less game. Which is an 8-1-3 winning percentage. But if Kansas City wins, that bumps them out because if they win, they're 14-3, and that's an 8-24. Now, I know it's a lot of numbers I'm throwing at everybody, and you're probably just like, whoa. But just the point is that Cincinnati has no chance and that Buffalo would have a chance, but only if somehow Vegas beats the Chiefs, which I don't think any of us see happening. And Baltimore would also kind of be on the outs here because – they can't win the division if they don't play this game because the best they can do is 11-6, which is a 647 winning percentage. Cincinnati would then be 11-5, which is a 688. So it's better no matter what. With a loss, they still have a better winning percentage. So that's it. Now, the two seed, oh, my God. I can't even – like, my head exploded when I tried to write down the scenarios for the two seed. Never mind the one seed. So there's that, of course, and then there's on top of it, there's what about Patriots and what about the Dolphins and what about the
seventh Jaguars there too.
Yeah, Jacksonville, there's a lot of other stuff. Now, Pro Football Talk just put out something recently that there's also another plan or things that they're kicking around. So here's one scenario that they are reporting. Again, don't play the game or don't finish the game. And then you figure out what to do with the seeding. One option, neutral site for the AFC Championship.
That sucks.
And also expanding the playoff field to 8 teams for both conferences. So now all of a sudden, teams that might have thought they were out are suddenly back in. Now, what that does, though, Bart, is it does create a Week 18 that suddenly now has a lot more juice, even more juice than it already has going in.
But
it just feels like a lot going on here.
It does, man. It's like, come on, man. Because guess what? Who's going to be pissed? The ninth seed. You know what I'm saying? It just continues, man. Just play the damn game. That's the best. We coming up with all these, you know, formulas and stuff like
but
that.
We're
if you
Thursday
just play
now. We're Thursday now, Bart. How do you possibly
if this
tell
was if
teams
this was
that are
COVID,
getting ready to play Sunday? Oh, wait a week.
If this was COVID, what would we do? If this was a hurricane, what would we do? Like, I've been a part of rescheduling the games. I once played 18 weeks straight, including the playoffs,
because I
lost my bye week and because they had to move the game. The game was canceled. We had to figure out if teams can play in San Diego because of storms.
Right.
So let's not act like it hasn't been done. Let's not act like if this was COVID and we had an outbreak and a bunch of teams couldn't play the game, we wouldn't be able to move it. So let's not act like that's the easiest thing to do is just to take away the week before the Super Bowl, which if both teams are going to be fair to both teams because they're going to be able to have 1 week normal preparation and play the Super Bowl. We have a buffer week in there.
Mm-hmm.
You can just do that and just let it be fair.
Now, can I throw
play the games.
Can I throw this wrinkle in?
Sure.
If they expand to 8, would the Jets be back in play? Because if they beat the Dolphins, that makes them 8-9. The Dolphins would be 8-9. If the Patriots lose, they'd be 8-9.
Man, don't listen. Do not give us hope.
Hang on
Let's
a second.
Let,
Hang
we've
on
already
a second.
We already accepted the fact that we're done. Barbecue chicken, finito. We're ready to look down
the Steelers,
and get the top 10 pick.
The Steelers still very much in play, right?
I mean, Jacksonville.
If the Browns win, they suddenly become 8-9, and the Steelers are 8-9. Holy crap!
See. Like, your head hurts,
Tennessee.
Right? I feel like I'm doing my ACT all over again. I got anxiety.
If you add an eighth, like if they did this,
no,
it would be mayhem.
My
to
point.
Try to figure out all the scenarios.
Just play the damn game. You see what I'm saying? Playing the game only affects
more,
two people.
No. See, now I think this is way more fun. I actually think this is way more fun, Bart. And then you're not having to add any games and pushing weeks ahead and moving and rescheduling. No. Now everything stays on schedule. You're just expanding your playoff pool. One more team on each side. What's wrong with that? Everybody's happy that way. Who's happy if you
We had one of the best callers this week. And the best caller this week said, hey, give the NFC a week off.
Oh, I know. But
let
it's too
late. Let the
AFC
play.
It's not. Thursday.
So
it's
what?
Thursday. It's
this is only the second day of preparation. You acted like Thursday is – you got Thursday.
No, it's not about
you got
the preparation.
Friday,
it's not about preparation.
Saturday.
It's about travel. It's about all the things that have already been in place.
Oh, okay. Okay, travel, right? Didn't we just move a whole game because it was a snowstorm? Come on, man. Stop it.
I just think you're
if you get both
you
teams a bye
week – You're
listen,
against fun.
With all the teams that got hurt players, you don't think a bye week would be something that's perfect, right?
I just think you just don't like fun.
I do like fun, and I want fun.
Now,
that's why I want a bye week because guess what? Lamar Jackson and his team would feel good. Every team that's going to the postseason would be happy with another week to heal up.
What one scenario that just somebody mentioned here that I think you might have said yesterday on our at Barton Hahn Twitter feed, the capital P. He said just make that game a tie. Just call it a tie. They didn't finish it. You can't finish it. Just make it a tie. Both teams just get a tie.
You can.
Half percentage.
You can.
Why?
So then if they lose to the Ravens, then they lose the division.
It's still percentage points.
Percentage points. So where it's going to come is the number one seed, which is the most important thing. Everything that the Bills have done this season was to be able to let the playoffs go through Orchard Park. Everything. And if you let the Bengals win or it's a tie, then the Bengals, strength of schedule, tiebreakers, you could push the Bills to the third seed.
See what I mean? This, by the way, this conversation sucks. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't something I don't think anybody's interested in. But we're trying to figure it out. Yeah, but you're trying to figure it out, but we don't have an answer, and I think we have to just wait for the answer at this point.
I'm in pain, man.
Because there's so much.
My sciatica's flaring up.
Yeah.
My back's flaring up.
I have a good little story here for you. So – again, as we heard earlier today, as the Bills had announced that DeMar Hamlin has shown improvement, remarkable improvement, they called it.
Strong.
And does appear to be neurologically intact, which is also important when you consider He suffered cardiac arrest. I mean, there was a lack of oxygen to the brain. A lot of concerns about him, that he opened his eyes. There was the other report, I think Coley Harvey, saying that a family member said that he was gripping their hand. So you had that going on. And some of the doctors, I believe now, or one of the doctors has been talking or has made some type of appearance and talked to media. And Adam Schefter just minutes ago said that the doctor said that Hamlin awakened last night and he asked in writing who won the game. And doctors said, yes, you won. You won the game of life. It's pretty strong, right?
It's beautiful, man.
Pretty strong. Like, that's, you know, but for the fact that that's what he
If you're the Bills, what are you waiting for? Like, man, that's some bone-chilling stuff, son.
But think about that he – this tells you,
he
right?
still – his everything, his memory, that's the last thing he remembers.
Yeah, so there's they're saying that – that yeah, that, sorry, all the reporters now are going through this. So the doctors confirm he's been moving – this is Field Yates – moving both hands and feet at this time. That's very good to know as well. So he's got that kind of movement. And that doctors that he's hearing now about how many people have been praying for him and all the things, the outpouring of love for him and all
that
stuff.
That's the beauty of sports, man. Like, we can be opponents and we can hate each other. We can try and knock each other's head off and be physical. But at the end of the day, it's an amount of respect and love for every man that dares to put on that helmet, because you have to be a brave soul to go out there and do what we do for a living routinely and love it.
Now, again, Bart, the fact that he asked who won the game, isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
Who won
that's
the all, game?
That's probably the last memory that he has is being on the field, making a tackle.
Just amazing.
Like, yo, did we win?
I mean, that, again, that's the stuff. You just love that. So, again, more good news from DeMar Hamlin, and the more we hear, the more we'll continue to give it to you.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.